We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses, people that were once in your shoes. Our TSBC alumni, speakers, and friends will shed light on growth strategies, resources, and inspiration to help you scale your creative business. Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt, the founder of Trade Show Bootcamp, and welcome to Proof to Product. On today's episode, I'm interviewing Adina Segal of Bunny Bear Press, a letterpress studio based in Seattle, Washington. Adina is sharing the evolution of her business, including why she underwent a complete rebrand and redesigned all of her products. She also talks about shifting her focus to do one thing and to do it well, and how she's keeping herself accountable by sharing her goals on her blog. Hey, Adina. Thanks so much for joining me today. It's great to have you on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, thank you. So let's talk about what you were doing before Bunny Bear Press. What led you to start your own business?
So I was working in corporate package design. I had been working for various different companies contracting. And my last job was actually working for Starbucks and doing packaged foods for holiday food. And that was my favorite job of all time. And I went on a 3-week trip to Europe. And when I came back, they had had a huge scale layoff like the next day. So I lost my job, and it was 2008. So the market was not so good.
Yeah, it was tough.
Yeah. So I looked for work for many, many months and really just couldn't find anything. So my husband and I decided to start a family. And soon after my daughter was born, I realized that I really needed a creative outlet. My husband had been kind of nagging me for a while, actually, to start a stationery company. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that. That sounds terrible. I had done like these birthday invitations for him for his birthday. And I went all out, like vellum, like it was crazy. So he had been asking me to start this company, like, you know, you should do it. You would be so much fun. So I was like, no, I don't want to do that. So after my daughter was 9 months old, I did a 4-week contract job. I had found just like a little bit of work, and I thought, well, you know, this will be a good way to test the waters to see if I want to go back to work after having kids or if I want to be a stay-at-home mom. And yeah, so I worked that job and I hated every minute of it.
Oh no.
Yeah, I was just, I had baby brain, you know?
Oh yes.
And I hadn't been working. It had been almost 2 years since I had been like exercising, you know, those muscles and working, you know, in Illustrator and all this stuff. Like I just hadn't been keeping up my skills. And so I felt rusty, and it wasn't a good experience. And I missed my daughter a lot. Mm-hmm. So that was when I decided to start my own company. Bunny Bear Press is named for my daughter's little lovey stuffed animal. It was this bear that had a hood with bunny ears on it. Uh-huh. And she carried it everywhere with her. And so, yeah, when I was naming my company, I couldn't find every name that I tried was taken. And so I was like, oh, well, what if I just try this? And it was available. And I was like, oh, okay, this is it, because I just want to get moving. And
you want to get started. You didn't want that hurdle there. I will say that naming a business has always been a really tough thing for me. And I know that a lot of my clients feel the same way. It's just, it's hard. And I don't know. To that point, too, I've seen a lot of people that change their business name midway through after they've gotten some traction. And that's a difficult decision as well. So anyhow.
I almost did that.
But did you?
But decided against it. Yeah, because I really regret it, because it's so cutesy. And everything that I'm making now is, it's not. I mean, it is, but it isn't. I know. I feel like it's kind of a little confusing. I get a lot of people asking me, like, do you have anything with bunnies on it? And I'm like, no, I don't. Sorry.
That's funny. So when did hand lettering come into this business of yours? Like, when did you learn how to do that? And how did you incorporate that into your products?
So hand lettering was something I have been interested in for a very long time. But it was something that every time I tried it, it looked terrible. And I was like, oh, this isn't for me. But I just kept coming back to it because I was just really attracted to it. And I bought this book by Mary Kate McDevitt. And it was like this like sketchbook, you know, and she gives all these different like examples and prompts to how to start lettering. I sat on that book for like a year. And, like, you know, kept looking at it, never getting going. And finally, I was like, you know what? It's been like so many months have gone by. You know, it's been over a year. Like, just stop it. Just do it already. Mm-hmm. And so I challenged myself. This was in the beginning of 2014, I think. I can't remember. My years are all flowing together. Too many kids. So I challenged myself to do a 365-day lettering project where I would letter every day, because I was like, well, if I do it every day, I'm bound to get better. It's just kind of how things work. Mm-hmm. And I didn't make it 365 days. I actually only made it 89 days. Okay. But that was 89 more lettering projects than I had done in all of the years that I have been pining to do lettering. So I thought, well, that was a win. I'll chalk that
That's
up.
That's a huge win. Yeah, oh, yeah. I've never attempted to do something for a full year every day or, you know, in practice like that. I think that's a great challenge. And now you've got my wheels turning of what I'd like to try to make happen.
Yeah, it's really hard. You just kind of have to be like, okay, no excuses. Like, even if I'm only going to sit down and do this for 10 minutes, like, I could do this for 10 minutes.
Did you build it into your schedule so that you were trying to do it at the same time every day? Or that would be my hard part. Like, my days are so different.
Yeah, I did. So I spent a lot of time working, and sometimes my husband's like, I never see you anymore. So I was like, okay, well, this will be a good way for me to do work, but then also not be like in front of my computer like away. So he likes to watch television, whereas I do not. So I would sit next to him on the couch and I would draw, and then he would watch TV. And so we would, you know, be able to talk and be together. But like, I was doing the things that I wanted to do and he was doing the things that he wanted to do. So it just kind of worked out. Very cool.
So let's talk about your products that you offer. Tell everybody what kind of products you sell. And I'd also like to kind of talk about the inspiration behind them. What motivates you to create them?
So right now I'm mainly focused on greeting cards. I have some coasters, but I'm kind of phasing them out right now. Mm-hmm. And I have a couple art prints, but they haven't really sold. So I kind of made a decision to just focus on one thing and do that really well. And then once that kind of builds momentum, it'll afford me the opportunity and ability to kind of expand out into some other items. Because I feel like doing all these different things, you get spread really thin. It's like, you know, you have to think about, you know, what kind of box is this going to ship in, or what kind of packaging is it going to be in? And it's like, you like, well, you want to make all these things. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, I have like 15 different types of plastic sleeves. And
it's really overwhelming.
Shipping containers. Yeah. I mean, just deciding to do art prints, I didn't think it through all the way as like how these were going to ship, because they're like 11 by 14. I'm like, okay, I need all these like flat mailers. And, you know, it's like, now that's like another thing to invest in. It's like you make these decisions to start these other projects, but you don't think about all the little pieces that come with it. You're like, this is the initial cost, but then there's like all this other, and you have to hold that inventory of all the plastic and all that stuff. And you don't know how long you're going to sit on it for.
I'm so glad you brought this up, because I see a lot of people that, you know, you guys are all artists, you're all creatives, you enjoy making your work and trying new things and, you know, dabbling in different areas and different product categories in particular. And yet I see a lot of people that want to try to expand into multiple product categories. But like you said, they haven't thought through the whole production process. They've thought about, you know, they've researched their printers and manufacturers or how they're going to make these products. But then the rest of the workflow, right? How are they going to store this and manage inventory? And how are they going to get it out to their customers? And those are all things that you need to be considering before you jump into a new product category. Because like you said, you're going to end up with all of these materials that are only for that one product. And so thank you for bringing that up, because I think that's a challenge a lot of product makers have. And sometimes the excitement overshadows the logistics of it, right? And so anyhow, I am definitely a fan of trying to streamline too and think of, okay, what packaging can you use for multiple products or multiple SKUs? And so what you just said really resonated with me, and I know it will resonate with a lot of our audience as well.
I mean, the only reason why I got to that point was because I did do all of that stuff and I did make all those mistakes. When I first launched my wholesale line, I had greeting cards. I had journals. I can't remember if I had coasters right away. Those might have come a little bit later. But mm-hmm. I had a wedding album that I was trying to sell. And I had this like little glass jar that had like a piece of paper in it for writing your wishes on. And then it mm-hmm. came with like a silver charm necklace. It was like this whole thing. And it was like a wonderful product. It actually got nominated for Best New Product at the National yeah. Stationery Show. But I didn't sell any of them. So I was like, I had all this stuff.
Well, you know? And frankly, on looking at that, like in retrospect, it may have been a blessing in disguise that it didn't sell well, because that is a right. time intensive, like labor intensive piece to put together. Right. I mean, that required you right. with your hands on it, putting it together. I mean, I remember seeing it. It was beautiful and it was very thoughtful. But I think from a scalability factor, you're right that would have been difficult.
Well, I think having all of those things too was really confusing for the buyers too. Oh, and I also mm-hmm. had this like wooden stationery box that tray that you could keep on your desk. It was like just all these different products, all these things. I was just all over the place. And I think that people would walk by and they're like, okay, well, what does she do? Like, what is mm-hmm. she, you know, what's her story? And it's like, oh, it was just everywhere, you know? And I think another thing too, you know, you think when you get nominated for these awards, like that's going to bring buyers to your booth and that, you know, that's going to be an automatic, you know, sale thing for you. But it just isn't, which was kind of surprising to me.
Yes and no. I think it doesn't automatically default to orders. That's true. But I do think right. that it does heighten the amount of people that are, it increases your visibility. And I think that when right. you go to these shows and you're stuck, because for people that aren't aware, the Best New Product there's like a gallery at the front of the show at the National Stationery Show where if you're a finalist, you can put your products. And where you put your products, you should also be putting your booth number and some detail. You know, you want it branded mm-hmm. to your company. And so I have seen in the past years a lot more traffic from that. Like people coming to my booth saying, I saw you in the Best New Product. But you're absolutely right. It doesn't necessarily correlate directly to increased sales.
Yeah. I think the other thing too is that mm-hmm. I was launching my line at the show. So nobody knew who I was and like, you know, and like that product was so just like this one-off thing that people who saw it and came to see me, maybe they were like, oh, we probably were expecting something totally different with, you know, what we were going to see here. And this was, you know, just one little thing.
Maybe they hoped it was a larger extension Maybe. Of that product line or something.
Right, right. So
I hear you. So you've done a lot of tweaking over the years. I mean, you recently went back and redesigned your collection of greeting cards. What was the catalyst behind this?
So the line that I had launched at the stationery show was kind of the first time I had designed something for myself that wasn't for another brand. So okay. That was the beginning of the exploration of like, what is my style? Like, what do I want to make? And when I wasn't really excited about making, once I made that like initial launch, I wasn't really excited about making new things, like expanding upon the line. And I had done a couple craft fairs locally about by me in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And this was kind of right around the same time I was starting to dabble in the idea of doing hand lettering. And so this was the summer before I made the New Year's resolution to letter every day. So I created three cards, actually with six cards with lettering on it, and kind of sprinkled them into my booth with all the other stuff. And mm-hmm. the response that I got from all of the people walking by my booth was just drawn to these specific cards so much more than all of the others, which was surprising to me for a couple reasons. My original line, like some of the cards were like six colors. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
And all of
for anyone not familiar with letterpress, that means it has to go through the press six times. That's
right,
a lot of work.
So mixing ink six times, setting it up six times, running it through mm-hmm. one at a time. Six times just to get one card. When you're printing like, you know, 30 different designs, it's not that big of a deal just to switch the plates. But when you have to reprint one card and it's six colors, it really does not justify the price tag of mm-hmm. what pay cost, you know, what the market will bear for a greeting card. So yeah, so the new cards, I was like, okay, they're only going to be two colors max. And so yeah, these cards were just not as colorful. They were light blue and navy. Yeah, everybody was just like, we love this card. Most of them were geared towards like best friends, which is really kind of through lots of soul searching where my new connection with my customer is wanting to expand friendship. So they would be with their best friend and they'd be like, oh my gosh, look at this card. And then they'd put it back, you know? So I was like, okay, well, like, so they connected with it. They connected it with their best friend who was with them. And like, just seeing that interaction, I was like, okay, this is where I need to go. This is what I need to do. And after that summer, I decided to just scrap everything and start over. I redid my logo. I redid my website and I redid my entire line from the bottom.
Was that a scary decision for you, or did you feel relief and excitement about that transition?
I think I was just excited about it because I was just the other stuff. I was like, well, what am I going to do with all this stock? Yeah, all this stuff. That was probably the only thing where I was like, well, what am I going to do with all this, these other things? But no, for the most part, I was just like, it felt right. Mm-hmm. And I was excited about it. And it just was the right thing at that time.
Okay. I feel like some of those decisions can be so scary because you've invested so much time and money. And like you said, right. You have that inventory now. And what are you going to do with it? But at the same time, it sounds to me like your business was really going through, and you were going through a time of just self-reflection of what you wanted this business to be and how you wanted it to look and what your products, how you wanted your products to portray the story you wanted to tell.
Right. I think before I was just making things to be pretty. I wasn't really making them for a specific person. Mm-hmm. And kind of just really thinking about those women who picked up my cards. Like, I was like, okay, these are the people who, you know, are interested in what I'm making. Like, why would they want to buy from me? You know, and so just like really thinking about why were they drawn to those specific cards and what was it about them? And then just really, yeah, the line is about, you know, me and myself and, you know, the things I like to draw or whatever, you know, the words that I, you know, think up and letter, but it's really about them and yep. their friendships. And, you know, it's really fun to see, because all of my cards are kind of rooted in some story, you know, with me and things like that pop into my brain or, you know, interactions I've had with friends. But to be able to hear their stories as to like why they like that card, like it just kind of becomes this just wonderful cyclical like experience for me. Cause I'm like, Absolutely. Okay, like, you know, like I'm not alone, right? There's people out there like me who think really weird things or say, you know, off color words. And, you know, but then, you know, hearing about them talk about their friends, it's like, it's just, I just really love it.
That's awesome. I will say too, if anyone goes to take a look at your website, which we'll link in the show notes, it is very clear that friendship is one of your core values, that exuding this whole communication, connection, and empowering these women to strengthen their friendships is, it's very evident on your site. So I wanted to commend you on that too, because I know that, yeah, it comes through that that's one of the things you're really focused on and part of your missions, which I know is hard to articulate on our websites and it's hard to articulate within our products. And so congratulations on doing that well.
Thank you. Yeah. I just feel that text messages and Facebook and all that, we have so many ways to connect with one another, but they're so just, I don't want to say vapid, but they're just, it's so surface level. It's very superficial. It's just like, you know, quick little, oh, Facebook told me it was your birthday, right? So happy birthday, you know, but the fact that, you know, there are lots of people out there who still like to send real mail, and even the people who aren't used to sending it, when they receive it, the fact that somebody took the time to not only pick out a card that spoke to their friendship, but, you know, wrote a message inside, which they have to because it's blank, right? So they have to put their own words in there. And then they, you know, had to hunt up their address, which is, in my opinion, the worst part of sending mail. And, you know, and actually send it, you know, it's like, that friendship is going to be stronger for it. And I just imagine, you know, if you were to be a pen pal with somebody and you send these letters, you know, you send them back and forth, you know, at once a month, you know, once a quarter, whatever, and you collect them by the, you know, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, and you look back and you have this box, like basically this time capsule of your friendship, like right. That friendship is going to be so much more powerful than anything, you know, otherwise. Like if you just were Facebook friends, or even if you, you know, meet up every so often, but it's like mm-hmm. having that written history of your friendship, I think is just, it's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing. I don't know if I've ever shared this with you or the bootcamp community, but my husband and I wrote letters back and forth to each other in college, because I don't mean to make it sound ancient, but like that we had Hotmail email addresses, but we didn't have access to computers the way we all do now. And he was in Hawaii and I was in Santa Barbara, and we would write letters back and forth to each other. Just like, honestly, like what you'd talk about on a phone call, right? Here's what I'm up to this week or whatever it is. And we still have that box of like mm-hmm. letters that we wrote back and forth. And I agree. It tells a beautiful story, whether it's a friendship or other types of relationships. I don't know. Writing, I mean, I know this is our industry, so we're extra fond of it, but it is a beautiful thing. And I think you're doing a great job of really cultivating that culture too with, you know, among friends. So
thank you.
So let's switch gears a little bit. On your blog this year, you started sharing your company goals and your desire to, you're calling it your 10X. You want to 10X your revenue. How has sharing these goals publicly and also the status updates every month, how has that affected your progress?
So I read this book by Grant Cardone called The 10X Rule. And basically the book is about your purpose in life is to reach your potential, maximum potential. Mm-hmm. And anything less than that is you're basically robbing the world of your gifts and talents. It's kind of a nice way to put it. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, am I reaching my full potential? Like, not really. I could probably do more. I feel like you could always do a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So I decided to challenge myself to 10X my business in 2017. And thought it would be really easy, you know, as all things, right? Just do 10 times more work and I, you know, 10 times more money will just pour in.
Right.
So I decided to get really clear about what my goals were for the year. Mm-hmm. And not only that, break it down in such a way that I was checking back with myself periodically every month. Like, you know, did I reach my goals for that month? And if not, you know, why not? How can I do better next month? And so I keep track of like how many, I'm going to look at my little whiteboard here, how many pitch emails I send, how many postcards I send, how many follow-ups, and then I, you know, then physical samples mm-hmm. and any new accounts that I've gotten or reorders. And if I have vetted any new stores that I want to add to my list and how many that is. And being able to actually like tally mark everything, I am being very honest with myself about how much work I did that month for trying to reach my wholesale goals.
Okay.
Whereas before, I was kind of all over the place. Like I was spending time focused on like my website and, you know, retail and then like a little bit of wholesale. And it's like, I was, you know, and I was like writing for my blog and I was just kind of like everywhere. And so mm-hmm. with doing the 10X focus, I was like, okay, what is my number one priority for this year? And I decided my number one priority was going to be building out my wholesale focus of my company. And so I've definitely had some months where I've strayed into like random things, mm-hmm. but having to, you know, at the end of the month be like, okay, like how did I do? And I'm like, oh, I spent a lot of time on that side project. I really shouldn't have done that. Like, okay, now I'm just going to like realign and start over again this mm-hmm. next month, as opposed to like it being 6 months later and me looking back and being like, gosh, like what have I even done this year? Like it's already half over. So As far as like how I've done, it has not grown as fast as I hoped it would.
Okay.
And I just kind of thought, and I tried timing everything with buying cycles. Mm-hmm. So I thought, okay, December, which is why I decided to start in January. December, everybody's, you know, in their crazy holiday phase. Like nobody's going to be looking at new lines. Nobody's going to be buying right now. Like they're just trying to get through the end of the year. So I'm like, okay, January, I'm going to do this huge push for Valentine's Day. And so I started reaching out to all these stores, sending them emails, sending all, you know, these pitches and postcards and like all this stuff. And I didn't really hear back. It's like a lot of crickets. And after thinking about it a lot, I was like, oh, well, I'm kind of cold calling people, right? Like these stores haven't heard of me before. And if they had, like my brand was totally different. Mm-hmm. And it's like the new stuff may not align, you know, it doesn't align at all with the older stuff that I'm doing. So, you know, it may not work for them anymore. Mm-hmm. So it was like really like starting from square one. So I was like, okay, I cut myself a little slack. Like, but I need to not let the crickets make me quit.
Absolutely.
Because the only time like you lose and you know that you fail at something is when you quit and you walk away. And this is something that is super important to me. So I'm like, okay, well, I haven't heard anything back, so I'm just gonna send more emails and send, you know, keep reaching out to them.
Yeah.
And that's actually also part of the 10X rule, is that he talks about how people would email him back saying, God, you're sending me so many emails, just stop already. And he took that to mean like, I should send more emails. So I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to keep going, keep sending stuff out. And eventually they're going to be like, oh yeah, I remember her. Like, oh yeah, mm-hmm. I remember I wanted to place an order, or I wanted to, let's see what new thing she has.
Right.
And I feel like I was looking at it at the beginning as a sprint exercise when it's actually a marathon.
Yeah.
So it's absolutely. Like, you know, I was like in mile one and two, and I was kind of like hoping I was going to start crossing the finish line with all these companies, and it just not the case. So.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. I think too, we set our sights so high, right? We know we want to be in these certain stores, or we know we want to accomplish these set goals, and we want to get there so fast. But mm-hmm. I like what you said about, you know, pacing yourself and recognizing that maybe some of these people are seeing you for the first time. And so now you're trying to nurture and build upon that relationship again, whether it's people that you had experience working with in the past, but now they're seeing your new stuff and your new style, or they're people that you haven't mm-hmm. worked with in the past that, you know, it truly is. You're building that relationship from the ground up. So what's next for Bunny Bear Press? What do you got going on the rest of the year?
So I just finished a big craft fair that also had a wholesale day.
Oh, great. How'd that go?
It went really well. I picked up one new account and I got 3 reorders from retailers that I've worked with previously.
Nice.
And earlier in the week, I had gotten another new account. Actually, it was like the craziest thing. One of my favorite stores, she's literally my wholesale BFF. she had given this interview in, I think it's Gift Shop Magazine or something. Uh-huh. And she had listed my company as her store's best-selling stationery.
Oh, that's great.
And this other store had seen that and reached out to me. And after us kind of, you know, me sending samples and back and forth, they placed an order with me. So like, that was super exciting. I was like,
that's wonderful. Congrats. You never know where these leads are going to come from or where people see you. So that's amazing.
No, yeah. And it's just, it kind of goes to show you that like this industry really is about connections and business in general too. Like, you know, like press, I think is one of those things that I didn't actively seek out before.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just kind of finding the magic. Like if nobody knows you, they're not going to buy from you, which is what I tell myself too. Like when I'm sending all these cold emails, because every time I hit send, like I'm freak out a little bit like, I'm like, but if they don't know you, they can't buy from you.
Right. So, exactly.
You know, the more, so I've also been trying to do more press this year as well, because I'm like, this is kind of one of those, I think, secret magic things that nobody really talks about, you know, like as one of the pillars of your business is you really should be actively seeking press because things just, they build and grow, you know, they snowball.
Yeah. So I think people don't talk about it because it's a little harder to quantify. It's a little bit harder to track back, you know, how much you can tell how much effort you're putting into it, right? Because you can tell how much time you're dedicated to pitching the press. But it's also hard to know where people are finding you. Some people will tell you, oh, I saw you in this publication or on this blog or whatever it might be. But for the most part, people may see you and they may not buy straight away, or maybe they'll buy, you know, 6 months from now. And so it's just, it's press can be really great, but it is hard to track. So. And that might be one of the reasons.
I think so, yeah. But I think the more you do it and the more is out there, like, it's just going to kind of
It's more touch work. Points for
It's
sure.
going to work. It's more, it's still marathon, right? It's just going to work. It's magic. Like, you know, you do a guest article, like, you know, on a blog and you don't know, like someone might see it 2 years from now.
Absolutely.
And place an order with you. Like, you just don't know. So it's like, if you're not doing it, if you're not sowing those seeds, like they're never going to grow to flowers. So.
Yep, 100%.
You got to do it. I agree. But yeah, things coming up for me. I'm doing Renegade Craft Fair, which is another in-person like retail event. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to be doing the Seattle Gift Show, which is a wholesale-only event in August.
Excellent.
So I'm super excited about that show.
Yeah, I look forward to hearing how that show goes. Well, where can people find you online if they want to check out your products or if they want to follow up on your goals on your blog too and read all about what you're working on?
So you can check my blog out at bunnybearpress.com, and you can also see all of my most current products on there. And then I'm also pretty active on Instagram at bunnybearpress.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today. It was fun to chat with you.
Thanks, Katie.
If you'd like to receive more information about our upcoming episodes of Proof to Product, including show notes and information about our guests, head over to prooftoproduct.com and sign up for our email list. Proof to Product is brought to you by Trade Show Bootcamp and hosted by me, Katie Hunt. Since 2011, TSBC has worked with hundreds of product-based businesses to help them uplevel, scale, and build profitable, sustainable companies. You can find our show notes and additional resources at prooftoproduct.com. And if you like what you heard today, please head over to Apple Podcasts to leave a 5-star review and subscribe. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with a new episode.